Now, if you've got any outdoor cookouts or picnics or festivals on your calendar for the rest of the summer, you might have a run-in with yellow jackets. The stinging insect is reaching peak season here in Wisconsin, and despite being one of the most disliked parts of summer, it might actually do some good for us. PJ Leash is the director of the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab. PJ, thanks for being with us.
Sure, pleasure to be here.
All right, so yellow jackets. People look at them and they see the yellow and black, and I think most of our minds think bees. Yellow jackets are not bees, right?
Correct, yes. They're from the same general group, the order Hymenoptera, which includes bees, wasps, ants, and creatures called sawflies. So they're distantly related but different twigs in that same branch in the tree of life.
So they're closer to the hornets and wasps, is that right?
Yes, they're within that wasp group.
And how many kinds of yellow jackets do we have here in the state?
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, the upper Midwest, we have over a dozen different species, and they have slight differences in appearance, habits, habitat that they prefer to nest in, and so on.
Let's get into the main reason I wanted to talk to you today. I've gone through most of my life thinking yellow jackets are a nuisance and useless for everything, nature, humans, and the like. And I keep hearing stuff that suggests that I've been wrong all along. Can you talk about the role yellow jackets can play?
Sure. So I suppose if we went onto the sidewalk and asked most folks their impression, it's probably going to be a negative impression. I will admit, I kind of grew up thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. You disturb them, they sting you. They certainly can do that. They can do a lot of beneficial things. And when I think of yellow jackets, overall, I think of them being more beneficial than harmful. I think it boils down to location of the nest. If it's right outside your front door, that's a concern. Otherwise, in terms of the beneficial things that they can do some pollination. Turns out, especially late in the season, yellow jacket workers are looking specifically for carbohydrate sources. They're running low on fuel, so to speak, so they need sugar sources. That may mean nectar from flowers. If you look at them under a microscope, their middle body region, the thorax, it actually has a fairly fuzzy and hairy appearance, and pollen will cling to that. They have not evolved specifically for pollination that bees have, but if they're visiting one flower for nectar and going to another one, they're going to do some pollination. So they can do pollination. That's one thing. I think them mostly, though, being predators, and they can be really pretty darn good predators. They're very fond of kind of soft, squishier insects, if you will. They're very fond of attacking things like caterpillar, maybe sawfly larvae and things like that. And the reason they act as predators is they need a protein source to take back to the nest. That's what they're feeding to their young. Their young are developing and growing. They need that protein input, whereas the adults need more of a carbohydrate fuel source to burn through.
So as part of our yellow jacket PR here, do they prey upon things that might be, say, garden nuisances?
Yes, absolutely.
So what kind of things? The ones you just mentioned?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you wander out in your garden, we have various cutworm caterpillars, hornworms, and things like that that may be around. I will say, though, sometimes they can almost do too good of a job. And what I mean by that is if you are specifically doing something like butterfly gardening, and these days we hear a lot about folks growing milkweed for monarch caterpillars, or you can grow other plants to attract other butterflies and get their caterpillars. And if you have a very active yellow jacket or paper wasp nest nearby, they might come in and essentially pick off all of those caterpillars. So they can almost be too good of a predator in that regard.
Okay, I am actually doing that. I have all sorts of volunteer milkweed. So I thought, okay, I'll plant some other monarch-friendly plants around it. So I haven't seen yellow jackets in that zone. If I do, maybe those are a nuisance there for me.
Yeah, they might be doing a little bit of harm from the caterpillar's standpoint in a case like that. Because again, they are very, very good predators. They need that protein to take back to feed to the nest.
Let's talk a little more about yellow jacket behavior. You say they like sugar, especially late in the season. I think we've all probably had the experience of drinking a soda outside or a beer outside. Why are they after our beverages?
Yeah. So reason for it, you actually have to look at their entire life cycle or biology. And our yellow jackets, they start from scratch every year. They overwinter as fertilized queens. So when the queens try to establish a colony in the spring, at first, it's just her. She's got to do all the work. She lays eggs, raises batches of workers. Over time, the colony keeps getting bigger and bigger. The queen is then going to be staying in the nest laying eggs, whereas those workers and that expanding workforce, they're the ones going out to collect food to bring back to the colony. Well, by the time we get to late summer, the colony is at peak size, and also some of their food sources, insect prey, other sugar sources outdoors, are starting to dry up. So you have maximum population in the nest. Food sources are starting to run low. So they get really desperate. And that's often, you know, around the time of football season and things like that. And so that's why folks that are out tailgating with soda or beer, you get the yellow jackets coming into those.
Anecdotally, I seem to remember my yellow jacket stings over the years are concentrated late summer into early fall. Is there a reason for that?
Well, again, I think it just has to do with the fact that that's the period of peak population size for the year. Once you get later into the fall, they're essentially starving to death. And also when the frost comes, that takes them out. So by the time we get into November, December, those colonies have essentially died out for the year.
Are they more ornery too, or is it just that there's more of them out there looking further afield maybe for food?
Yeah, they may be a little bit more aggressive that time of the year because, again, they are desperate, searching for just about anything that they can look for. And again, the colony is at peak size. You've got a lot of workers out there looking for food sources.
Now, that overwintering compared to bees, do I have this right? More bees would survive through the winter. You'd have a bunch of them living as opposed to yellow jackets. You're saying there's one.
Yeah, well, and even then, it depends on the type of bee.
Okay.
If you think of something like a honeybee, they spend the winter together as a colony. So you got hundreds or thousands in there. With some of our other bees, like bumblebees, do almost the same thing as yellow jackets. And what I mean by that is the bulk of the colony dies out late in the season. And then you have certain females, and these are females that have gone out from the nest, mated, so they're ready to lay eggs. Those females seek out a sheltered overwintering spot. Could be a tucked away area inside a rotting log or something like that. They're going to overwinter there, and then those females have to start new nests or try to start new nests from scratch the following spring.
Getting back to the ecosystem, yellow jackets are predators. Are they also prey for somebody?
To a certain extent, yes. If you think of a yellow jacket nest, it can be pretty well defended. But if you were a large mammal, perhaps with thick fur, fairly tolerant, I mean, if you can get into a nest, that's a good protein source. The larvae, essentially these little grub-like creatures, I mean, that's kind of a jackpot for a foraging mammal. A skunk or something like that might feed on those.
They can be a nuisance to many of us. Of course, some people have serious allergies to bee stings. Do yellow jacket stings trigger the same response for people?
They may, and there's going to be some differences in the actual chemicals in the venom. And venom itself, it's not a single thing. It's kind of a chemical soup, a mixture of a number of different things. In general, if someone has sting concerns with bees, they probably are going to be pretty wary of yellow jackets as well, just because of some of the same concerns.
Big picture, you said you grew up like I did, worried about the yellow jacket. It sounds like you're saying, hey, maybe they're not such bad guys overall.
Right, yeah. And in general, if you give them a wide berth and stay away from the nest, they tend to leave you alone. If you get up close within, you know, a few feet or you run over that ground nest with the lawnmower, they're going to be defensive. They're going to come out and sting. But if it's a nest in the back corner of your yard and you can kind of leave it alone and it's going to die out naturally in the fall, they're providing free pest control for you around your garden and flower bed.
And finally, if we have one in that place, the doorway, or some, they're next to our house and we know somebody's allergic to bee stings, what are the best ways to deal with those if we have to?
Good question. It depends on where the nest is located. If we have an exposed nest, so that aerial paper mache type nest, we can easily treat that with a aerosol spray can from the hardware store. The caveat is some of the species will nest in pre-existing cavities. So this might be up in your soffit area of your home, or it might be in a spot such as a chipmunk burrow in the ground. It turns out for those locations, the aerosol sprays don't work very well because the droplets settle. And so if you went out and were to spray that ground nest, it might take out some of the workers, but you check the next day and they're back. So it's often most helpful in those cases, if need be, and you can't avoid leaving it alone, to use a dust or powder type product that is labeled, and the instructions say you can use it on ground nesting yellow jackets.
PJ, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Pleasure to be here.
PJ Leish is director of the UW-Madison Insect Diagnostic Lab. He was with us to talk about some of the good things that yellow jackets do as they reach their peak in late summer.